and welcome to the Surfing Podcast, the number one surfing podcast in the world, recorded completely nude. Okay, that's not true. My name is Dan Bialik. I'm your host. Thank you for tuning in. Last episode was of the podcast was very sweary because I was talking about all the things that have to do with like the WSL and pro surfing that I think are just stupid. And the reason the last episode was so agitated and sweary was I had hit record on the thing and started recording the podcast and got about a minute and a half, 2 minutes in. And I was like, this podcast is the most boring piece of shit. It sounds like all the other podcasts that are just like, well, I think this, and this is, and I was like, fuck it. I hit stop on the thing and I hit record again. And I said, let's just record the kind of podcast I would want to listen to about surfing. And it's one where the guy gives a shit about surfing. He swears a bunch and he says a bunch of shit that people, you know, probably wouldn't agree with. And he also speaks truth to power by telling you that Monster Energy, Red Bull, and the other one are fucking poison. And the fact that they sponsor all of our major athletes doesn't make that shit drinkable or good for you or anything. It's just kind of stupid. All right. So this week, I thought instead of just going on a crazy 50-minute profanity-laced tirade, I would answer some questions from people on the internet like yourselves. So, all right. Let's see. We got two questions on the Facebook that I put from the post I did earlier today. First one is from Shauna. Shauna says, talk about living in Los Angeles and compare it to the surf vibe in the OC, also known as Orange County, California. Okay, Shauna, I will. I grew up, I was born and raised in Huntington Beach, California. I surfed in my younger years. I surfed Bolsa Chica in the Golden West area. And then as I got into middle school and went to Dwyer Middle School and then Huntington High School, I transferred over to surfing the Huntington Beach Pier. This is back in the 90s. When the wetsuits were just barely blind stitched, not even double blind stitched yet, barely glued. And, the boards were longer and they had neon colors on them. And now they're shorter and some have neon colors on them. But it was a different era. It was a different time. And I grew up there. I lived in Huntington until I was, probably 19 and then or 18. I lived in San Diego for a year. I lived in Hawaii for 2 years. Then I lived in Huntington and Los Angeles throughout school. Then I got out of college and then I lived in L.A. for 15 years, and now I've been back to Huntington for at least 5, almost 6, I think. So I think I have a good lay of the land of surfing, I have data on both places and living and surfing in both, so I feel like I speak to both of these. So first off, Los Angeles is different than Orange County in the fact that if you surf every day, Los Angeles, there's more traffic. It takes longer to get to the beach, for one. Let me take a step back. So it's more of a pain in the butt to get to the beach. Wherever you live and surf, you're kind of like stuck because of the traffic thing and the waves in LA. It's not like just endless beach breaks of good waves or endless reef breaks or point breaks of good waves like in San Diego. It's like pockets here and there of beach breaks usually that have a jetty sticking out or some type of thing where they're not completely walled and shitty. So you surf where the waves are good. And those spots are usually few and far between. There's nook and cranny waves, but they're also tucked away and kind of hard to get spots that are far away from each other. You have places like Lunada Bay that are still localized by, a bunch of, people that do stupid shit if you surf in the ocean because they're locals. No, they don't have fins or gills or a blowhole, but they're locals because they live in a neighborhood with multi-million dollar houses and were born there, which makes complete sense and isn't retarded in any or respected. If you've tuned in last episode, you'll get that joke. And anyway, but it is what it is. So you got a couple of places like Lunada that's localized. And then up north of Santa Monica, you have Topanga and Malibu. Those places are few and far between and hard to get to because the Highway 1, like PCH, is pretty narrow and there's traffic-y and it's a pain in the ass. So first off, usually you pick a spot and you get to surf one spot usually in LA. You don't get to drive around. Like down here in Orange County, if I want to go look at Huntington, I can look at Golden West. I can look at the pier. I can look at the state beaches. I can go look at the river jetties. I can drive down to 56th Street. I can go look at Newport Point. If I get really ambitious, I can drive down and go surf like Salt Creek. I can do all that within, 40 minutes, from my 40 minutes in my house. From my house, I can check at least 3 spots, and surf one of those places. And the webcam coverage is pretty good there. In LA, the webcam coverage for a lot of the spots, because there's nook and cranny spots that don't break all the time. So they're really not worth probably upkeeping for a surf line or whoever, upkeeping a camera all the time. So Orange County is easier to get to if you're down here. There's more spots you can check. There's better webcam coverage, which does make the spots kind of crowded when it's good. So that's one thing. The other thing that I was going to say off the bat is the strange thing about differences between Orange County, California, and Los Angeles is, except for places like, I don't know, I want to say like maybe like Malibu or somewhere like that. If you surf the random beach breaks at in LA, like especially like El Porto, whether you surf straight out or southern, like south part of El Porto or the jetty, you rarely see the same guy out twice in LA. Same thing with Santa Monica kind of sucks to surf. But Venice, if you surf Venice, you rarely see the same dudes out every time you surf, or even seeing people out every time, because LA has a lot of like, I don't know if you call them hobbyists, but there's just people. There's a surf scene and there's hardcore surfers in LA, but it's like there's fewer of them than there's, to me, it seems this way. There's fewer of them than there are in other places like in Orange County. And there's a lot of like weekend warrior types or guys that, you know, on a $900 Hayden Shapes with like a $600 O'Neill wetsuit and, you know, $3,000 or $4,000 worth of shit on them and a GoPro camera pointed at their double chin as they paddle. And they surf like once, I would say a month or every 6 months or a year probably. I think we were talking to my friend Marty, who works down at Jack's at Main Street, and I was asking him about what boards were good, and he's like, "Well, it's the same, or what boards were popular right now?" And he's like, "Oh, same old, same old. They're just boards, you know. People, whatever is being pumped online, you know, social media wise, people buy." So he just jokes. I was telling him, like, you know, it's so funny, and he's like, "Yeah, people just buy the boards and put them in their apartment. They just keep in the corner, so when chicks come over." But yeah, there's a lot of those guys. There's a lot of guys in LA, especially like places like El Porto, in Santa Monica. If you find somewhere to surf in Santa Monica, Venice, even Malibu for sure, on like really expensive, like brand new equipment, they can barely paddle. They're paddling like with their legs splayed apart, can't duck dive, bail the boards on like a 2 foot wave they could like jump over. It's frustrating. It's super frustrating. There's a lot of goofballs down in Orange County as well, but they're more of the their variety is more wave storm goofballs. Who just like paddle out at a peak and are just little dickheads. They took a surf lesson at the pier and just decided that's where they surf now, which are kind of annoying. And then you have like not as big a kooks as in LA, but it's almost worse because there's just as many of them. But there's guys that can like stand, like guys that ride Hayden Shapes. They can stand up. Those boards are real floaty and stable, and they go fast, straight and down the line, so they can catch waves, and they'll try and hustle you for waves and let them go, and then they'll go on a wave just butt squatting, flailing their arms straight, and they'll paddle back out and try and paddle back around you at the top of the peak and try and take the next one off you. And it's insane. I've yelled at more people on Hayden Shapes boards in the last 5 or 10 years than probably 5 years, and I've yelled at people my whole life because it's just these entitled dickheads that can barely surf that will, like, because the boards are floaty and it's easy to catch waves. And like I said, they're fast down the line, but like those guys, they're hard to put on, like, they seem hard to put on rail for these people. And these guys never get beyond, you know, go vertical, and even at a 45 degree angle doing a turn, because they're kooks. Not to say that guys like, you know, the Dane Reynolds' best friend, Goofy Foot, Australian guy, Craig Anderson, he's a different type of, he could surf on a whatever, he could ride a 5-1 or a 7-2 and still do airs and all that shit because he's very gifted. Most of us mortal people aren't that gifted in the ocean. So with a grain of salt, yeah, the Hayden Shapes are just the biggest kook boards in the world. And I feel like if I see a guy paddling out one of those, unless he's someone that like I know from surfing, I'm probably going to be a pain in the ass. And they usually are. But yeah, so LA, you got guys on like brand new Merricks, like the latest like spine tech Merrick with like $1 billion fins and, you know, leash and traction pad and wetsuit and hood and gloves and just, like I said, like 4 GoPros on their board. Orange County, you get more of the guys that are like, they're more hardcore kooks. They surf more often, but they're terrible. They can duck dive and they can paddle out, which makes them almost more deadly. I prefer the guy that's like paddling legs splayed apart with, you know, throwing his board over his head on like a 2 foot set, because I can at least avoid that guy. The active Orange County Hayden Storm kooks will seek you out. Like, they're the kind of guys, like, if you paddle out on like a crummy little day on Northside or Golden West or, you know, somewhere in Huntington, and you're like the only guy on a little shitty peak, and there's another peak on either side that's good, they'll come sit up next to you. They'll try and chat you up, and then they'll start trying to sit inside of you on every wave and take waves off you. And it's just like, I'm old and I'm grouchy, so I always tell them point blank, like, hey, I'm not in a fucking heat right now. I just have an hour off of work. I was coming down to surf. Can you go fucking sit? Tell me if you want this peak. If not, go sit somewhere fucking else. I don't want to sit by someone. I don't want to be in a heat for the next 30 minutes with someone who can barely stand up. Get the fuck away from me. I can barely stand up, so I've got enough of my own problems. I don't need your lack of surfing prowess dragging down my dog shit abilities and getting us a ding, or, you know, me missing sets because you're trying to fucking, you know, North Shore Chandler paddle my leash and pull my leash or something. Like, so I'm pretty blatant because I'm a grouchy old man. But it's super frustrating. In L.A., the other side of that is if you surf up like somewhere like El Porto, especially not the jetty, but even just straight out El Porto, which can get fun. It's walled most of the time, but you know, some fun ones, so corners. But the smaller El Porto gets, the more crowded it gets. Like I'm not talking like 20-foot waves. I'm talking like the median or middle part would be like 4 feet. 4 feet, it's packed, you know, but then if it gets 3 feet, it's more packed. 2 feet, it's even more packed. And then below 2 feet, you know, 1 foot starts getting just lapping on shore. They're kind of not that surfable. But like, yeah, 2 to 3 feet in El Porto is fucking packed, especially in the winter. Like in a morning, like 7 o'clock on a, like a Tuesday morning, heaven forbid a Saturday morning in the winter, it's just a million Barneys. And then it's funny because like 4 foot, still kind of crowded. Every 6 inches after 4 foot, the crowd like divides in half. It's insane. Like 5 foot El Porto, not as crowded as 4 foot. 6 foot El Porto, not even as crowded as 5 foot. Like 6 to 8 foot El Porto, it's you and just usually people that can surf and one guy, so one Barney that like somehow got out through the sets and is just out the back and scared shitless. I surfed when I lived in LA. One good thing about El Porto is like it's a crap wave, but it barrels more. It's more Newport-y than it is Huntington. Huntington's like a kind of a mushy almond shaped barrel at best. Newport is more of a throwy, you know, cylindrical kind of circle barrel. So the comparison there is like it's more of a, it breaks further out like Huntington El Porto does usually when it's bigger, but it's like it breaks like Newport further out, if that makes any sense. But what happens is it's fun because when it's walled or even shitty, if you make the drop, and it's not that hard of a drop, it's kind of plungy, but it's not like a slab, you can pull into closeout barrel. So you can take off and just take off at an angle and stand up inside of a closeout barrel, and the waves are, like I said, are pretty round and they're pretty explodey. So a majority of the time, if you just ride the wave into the barrel and don't freak out, it'll just explode you through the back. I would say like, I don't want to say 9 out of 10 times, but a majority of the times on like a head higher or slightly overhead wave, if you pull in and stay in the barrel and make the wave and pull in, it will just smush you down and shove you out the back. And then you just got to like make it through that impact zone because the problem with El Porto is it's real explodey and there'll be like 20 or 30 wave sets or more. I've counted like 50 duck dives on many occasion on like a head higher overhead day where I was just like 20 feet from the impact zone. And if I stopped paddling, I was going to lose all the ground that I covered, but I just was paddling to try, and you just wait for a break in the sets and then you get back out and then you're like so tired that a wave will come to you and you'll be like, no, I'm good. I'm going to learn how to breathe again for 5 minutes because I'm about to fucking die. My teeth hurt from the lactic acid being released in my muscles, I guess, or wherever that comes from. But yeah, it's very odd. The thing I said, like the guys in Orange County that will follow you around when it's not crowded, at El Porto, if it's over 4 foot and you're out by yourself, you'll see some guy paddle out. And it's usually some kook. He's like in a spring suit with booties or something ridiculous. And he'll come paddle out, especially if it's bigger, and he'll chase you around because he's scared to sit by himself. And he doesn't know where to go. And I think it's an unconscious thing that like think if they sit by you, they won't get caught inside, or you'll help them or something if they get hurt or drowned. You know, and of course, you know, everyone would. You're a decent person, I assume. But it's just very funny because you'll get those guys and then a perfect wave will come to them. You've been sitting there for like 10 minutes. Perfect wave will come. And they'll be like in the spot, you know, closer to the peak. You're like, oh, do you want it? I'm like, no, go. Oh, it's all yours. It's all. And then they'll like hoot you in. And it's like, dude, you could have just said, no, you didn't want it. You don't have to do the fanfare and whatnot. I don't need more pressure to fall on this wave and flail and bog like I'm about to anyway. But yeah, Orange County kooks are competitive and kind of dickheady. LA kooks are just, they mean well. They would mean well if they even knew what the fuck they're doing. They don't know. They have no clue what they're fucking doing. So it's LA. There's just not a lot of hardcore guys. But yeah, I surfed El Porto, especially the last few years before we moved back down, because we were like, you know, we were trying to get pregnant, and we were kind of like talking about maybe moving back down to Orange County, and we were coming down here to see our relatives a lot. So I was surfing Orange County a lot the last few years before we moved down here. But I surfed El Porto. I surfed Venice a lot, and I surfed El Porto because those are the two places I could get to before the sunset, like after work when I was working in Culver City, and sometimes I was working in Hollywood. It's the two closest places I could race to and get like 20 minutes before sunset to surf, especially like in the winter. And I'd still have to like sneak out of work early to do it. But I would say, like, from surfing those places, I rarely saw the same people like at El Porto or Venice. More, I mean, there's a couple locals you'll see, but not really, like, especially at El Porto because it's so spread out. At El Porto, I rarely saw the like someone out surfing more than once or twice, like really, like rarely. And if you saw them once or twice, it'd be once or twice in like a 1 week span, and then you never saw that person again. It was very rare that you would see someone all the time, where there was like just one guy. Oh, that guy's car is there, he must be surfing. It's just not like that. Like, if I surf the pier, there's certain parts of the day, like morning, late morning, noon, early afternoon, late afternoon, right before dark, that I know if I surfed every day, I would see the same people at least two or three times that week. And or I'll just see guys out. But yeah, with El Porto, I surfed there for, you know, several years, and I never saw like the same guys. There's local guys, but I think the local guys also go surf other places because they're like, you know, they're hardcore. Like the guys that like with stickers on their board, they're under like 25 and under. They're probably going to surf better places, like, you know, some of the nooks and crannies down like in Hermosa and other places down there when the jetties and whatever are going off. But yeah, I never see the same people. It was almost eerie. It was just weird because if you surf a spot a lot, you get like little surf buddies usually. Like, you don't, you know, you maybe know their first name or, you know, if you remember it or whatever. But then you see them like, hey, what's up? And you chit chat with them, and you might see them all the time. It's not like you don't hang out with them out, you know, outside of the water, and you say bye and you go surf. You see them. But yeah, in LA, I just never really met very many people that surf that were around very, very often. And then if you're like up in LA, like at places I worked or at a party or like through friends, you'd meet people that said they surfed, and then they'd be full of shit. They like the kind of guy that had like a brand new Merrick or Hayden Shapes in their apartment or something, but used it once a year. They just like talked about surfing and how hard did they rip. And you can tell pretty quickly when someone's talking about surfing, where you're like, yeah, I kind of feel like you don't surf a lot or well. Not that I surf well, but I mean, like, competently, I guess, or have surfed more than, you know, more than a number of times you could count on one or both hands combined in your life. But you keep telling people that, which is odd. So, yeah, that's a weird thing about LA. Again, it's Orange County. There's a lot more diversity of breaks because you can go to like mushy Huntington or Newport or, you know, Hollow or Newport. You can go to, there's nooks, a couple nooks and cranny places there in between. You can go down to Salt Creek. You know, you always go surf Laguna if you want to get crazy and surf some, you know, some reef breaks or whatever. Like, it's just LA. There's that stuff in LA too. Like especially like northern LA, like up towards Malibu and past Malibu, it's just like it's much farther away and there's a lot of traffic. Like Orange County traffic is nothing compared to LA traffic. Like, even PCH down here is like two or three lanes usually. In LA, from like Santa Monica North, it's like one lane each way for most of it. It splits into two a lot, but it's like one because there's always someone in the right lane trying to park or pull out of a space or doing some crazy bullshit. So it's just, it's awful. So that's one thing. And then I guess there's the good thing about LA is that you have access from LA. You can jump, like we used to live in Hollywood, you can jump in the 101 and you kind of springboard to go surf like up north, like Santa Barbara or Rincon or any of those places. But, you know, here in Orange County, same thing. You can springboard and, you know, in Huntington, we're like 45, 40 minutes away, depending on traffic, from lowers to go surf uppers in the winter or summer or, you know, or the summer or lowers, lowers in the summer, plus churches and all that stuff and all the breaks in San Clemente. So I don't know, there's more options closer by to surf locally, and then you got a pretty good springboard in Orange County to go down to surf places that are farther away. Like San Diego's like just barely an hour, you know, a little over an hour away. But like LA, you got an hour just to get to shitty beach break waves and like an hour and 15 to get to Malibu if it's during traffic or more. And then, you know, you're still a couple hours away from Rincon and whatnot. So I don't know. I think Orange County is more convenient, but if it depends on what industry you work in. If you work, like I work in advertising and, you know, copywriting and stuff like that, and social media. So the jobs in LA and the clients in LA were much better. I worked at a couple bigger agencies and had like, you know, got to work at agencies that were like kind of cool, worked for cool products. Here in Orange County, the agencies are smaller, and the products that we work on, there's a few businesses or larger brands that have hubs down here in Orange County, and like Irvine and stuff. Non-surf brands, mind you, not surfing brands. I really don't have any desire to work in the surf world at all. But it's just like more, you know, like mom and pop or like like under 20 employee kind of places that are, it's fine, but it's a little bit wonkier. So that's it. So I guess your question, Shauna, was The overall vibe in Orange County is it's like there's actually, I guess you could call it a surfing community. There's a, you know, people surf, people, you know, there's more people that actually surf. Yeah, way higher percentage of people, from the guy that works at the grocery store to the guy that works at, you know, Target or Best Buy or whatever. More people surf down here, especially the closer to the beach you get. In LA, just not as many surfers. Way more people, less surfers. And like I said, El Porto gets crowded, but anytime it gets overhead, not crowded. Malibu is big when it's crowded because Malibu is a quality wave or whatever. But like a lot of the places in LA, especially the beach breaks, over 4 or 5 feet, you know, faces, not backs. Like, you know, I'm 6'3". It's like shoulder high or bigger. It gets real empty real quick. So you can surf by yourself quite a bit, even when it's firing, because there's just the people up there don't surf enough. And they can't even paddle out when it's that big. But also just like anywhere else, there's crews from each city there's guys from El Porto and, you know, Hermosa and, you know, PV and Malibu and all that rip. There's still clusters of rippers, but just not as many, and they're not as apparent. And I feel like they drive and go to other places, one for exposure, probably to go shoot at places that, you know, are better, and two, just to surf better waves. So there's that. I think that answers the question pretty well. And then Tim on Facebook says, tell some stories about HB legends. Tim, I don't even know where to begin with that question. I mean, which ones? There's a bunch of really good surfers from Huntington, like, you know, like pro surfers from every era and all that. And like famous ones, I guess, like guys follow, like, you know, like the Daffenbaugh brothers to like Bud Lamas to like, you know, Hawks and all that. But I don't know, Huntington is a funny place. I just remember I grew up here, and it was funny because I grew up surfing the pier, but I feel like my group of friends that I surf with were like the great, like we're one class like we were the younger ones and all the cooler kids. We graduated from Huntington in 93, but like we were like, we did like bad stuff, like I don't know, got drunk and rode our bikes around and did stupid shit. But like we were still like the younger, dorkier group of kids. And we had a couple kids that surfed really well. Like, you know, I grew up with Jay Larson, who was like one of the best guys to come out of Huntington in the era that I, you know, was growing up. And he was one of our good friends in our group of surfer friends that hung out. But we were all like dorky. Like we drank beer and stuff, but none of us were like super hardcore stoners. None of us really did like hardcore anything stronger than pot. But the group of people like 4 or 5 years older than us, and then all the way back in time and history, were fucking gnarly. Like so heavy. I really feel like, for as bummed as I was when we were Groms, when we used to hang out like at Tower 2, and I feel like, oh, we're so lame, I wish we were cool like so and so and all these other guys that were like, you know, bringing down like strippers to the beach and shit like that, and just hooking up with chicks more so than we were. Like those groups of like the guys that are like the legendary status, like guys 5 years older than me and older and above, fuck, they've had like so many of their friends fucking die. I don't mean to laugh. I mean, it's not funny at all. It's like a morbid, you know, dark humor laugh. But it's like, yeah, there's been, I'm not going to name any of the guys, going to be fucked up. But like, there's like at least a dozen guys I can think of that are like old, like in the group older than me, like just, I don't like how to frame it, like 5 years older than me to like 10 or 15 years older than me that are fucking dead. And like, you know, some are just accidents, some are accidents they're on drugs, some are accidents because of drugs or drinking, some are just straight up drugs and drinking related, some are shadier than that. But like, yeah, as much as I lamented back in the day wishing I was cooler and that my group of friends was like cooler, like all the hardcore like older HB local guys, like I can't stress enough how fucking glad I am that we are all fucking dorks, because all of my friends now that I grew up with, and I don't see them all the time because everybody works and does other bullshit, but like most of them, like they just have regular jobs, or they, you know, jobs and careers, and they're married for the most part, and they have, you know, kids, and they're all pretty much good dads and shit like that. And the ones that are single are some of my friends that are 40 that are single that are still like going out tonight to meet some bitches. And I'm like, you fucking live that dream, man. I am tired in both boner and spirit. I have no desire to do that, but you head down to fucking, you know, Sharky's or wherever you're going. And Jesus Christ, it sounds sad. But good for them, I guess. They're out there, you know, with a boner, just chasing a dream. But yeah, I just can't, like, I always thought like, oh, I was like, oh, we're such dorks, or I'm such a fucking dork, and I always wished I was cooler. But as I got older, I'm like, thank Jesus and Buddha and Allah and the gods, the old and the new, that fucking I was a fucking dork, because all my friends for the most part are still alive. We had a couple kids One of our friends, the guy a couple of years younger than us, that died recently. I think another guy died like 5 or 10 years ago. I think he had some weird kind of cancer. But like for the most part, knock on wood, all the guys that I grew up with and hung with are alive and have their shit together and have pretty good and happy and normal. I mean, I don't know what normal is, but like, you know, happy and successful and productive lives. And they don't all surf as much as they used to, or, you know, as much as they want to, but they still surf. We get to surf together every once in a while. And it's like, you know, I only get to surf with my friends that I grew up with. Even though I live in the same city now as I grew up with, you know, 20 years ago, I only get to surf with them, you know, once or twice every, you know, 3 or 6 months. And sometimes more than that, but never a concerted effort. Like I'll just run into somebody like, oh, so on Southside or down the beach or something, like, she's, oh, hey, what's up? You know? So it's always a big treat. You know, I always value it. But yeah, the legend stories, like that's, I don't really have any good, like firsthand account HB legend stories, because I was just young enough to be like outside of that bubble, and I was just uncool enough not to be really involved with any of the really, really, really cool dramatic things that happened, you know, pre 1990, you know, three or before that. So, yeah, but there were, I mean, but a lot of those guys that were like quote unquote legends, like I said, some of them are fucking dead. There are a couple guys that surf the pier that were like God honest, like surf idols, like legends when I was growing up. Like if I was 15, they were probably like 19 or 20, and they're like guys we just looked up to and just thought were like, oh, the fucking coolest guys ever. There's a couple of them that are just fucking blow, like just fried their chips, just their computer chip, their brain is just fucking gone. Like I don't know if it was like too, like probably meth, I'm assuming, but like, or to that acid 1,000 times or a combination of whatever, but they're fucking like straight up like Looney Tunes, like out to lunch, like you look in their eyes and there's not much coming back at you. Couple, you know, one or two guys like kind of homeless, breaking into cars, in and out of like rehab and jail and shit like that. So like I said, like it would have been really awesome to be cooler, to have been cooler when I was younger, but I'm really fucking glad that I mean it was as dorky and as lame. And even Larson was a good surfer, but like, you know, we went to parties and did stupid shit, but like, yeah, none of us like luckily ever got into hardcore shit, and we're pretty fucking lame, and ended up like, you know, settling down and all getting married and not trying to chase the dragon, you know, of excitement for longer than, you know, than necessary. So that was cool. All right, let's do one question from Instagram and we'll wrap up this episode. Again, if you're missing out on the angry, sweary maniac that I was last episode, just give me a week. I didn't watch the France contest. The Portugal contest is starting today, so maybe something. I've already seen annoying social media posted from the WSL, but I really want to make this podcast about surfing, not about picking on pro surfing or giving an angry update about the WSL's progress every week. Because I don't know how exciting that is, but yeah, I think one of you guys or girls, ladies or men, people had requested that I'll try and find the post so I can quote it. But you wanted me to give a rundown of like Southern California and like California places to surf in general, like that, and over the seasons. So I'll put together a list of those, of that, like summer, winter places to surf from, like, you know, from LA South. But I won't fuck anybody's spot up and give like specific directions, like go surf this spot in March, because I'll just give like a general overview from anyone that's not from California of what months, what the waves are like, what months, and what you can expect, and places, areas you can go to. I won't be like, oh, go to this jetty here and fuck these people up, because that'd be a dick move. But we'll take one more Instagram, and we'll talk about it. Oh, the surf casting Mariner and I'm gonna fuck up this Joao Cav both asked about etiquette, especially at beach breaks. I'll do it. Let's do an episode, either next episode, or the episode after that, or one of the upcoming episodes, all about etiquette. I will study up on it, and I have very strong opinions about etiquette. It will be an episode like last episode, like the previous one. It will be heated. It will be aggressive. It will be emotional, and it will be sweary. But yeah, we'll cover that in a future one. Sorry to blue ball you there, but like I don't want to. That's a bigger topic. Let's see. What? Yeah. One last one. Oh, okay. This is one last one. And Realist asks, foam boards versus pop-outs versus custom shapes. Where does the surfing podcast stand? ? How to operate when the lineup is too packed. Again, that's etiquette. Okay, cool. So I'll answer the... I was paraphrasing while mumbling into a microphone this gentleman's question. So let's go. Foam boards versus pop-outs versus custom shapes. Real quick. I know there's tons of backlash against pop-outs, and I understand it, but I also feel like that's just the nature of mass production, and consumer goods. Like, yeah, it's a bummer that local shapers don't make as much money, but the locals, like, but there's a lot of local shapers that are good local shapers that still have viable business models because they're good local shapers. There's guys like, even in Orange County, you got Doc over at Surf Prescriptions, you got Tim Stamps at Stamp Surfboards, you got Charlie Wickwire over at Chaz, he's Chaz Surfboards. He's always posting clips. He's got a couple of smoking team riders right now, and he's surfing. Chaz is in his 50s, and kid guy still fucking rips. He's posting clips from like the surf line cams of him surfing locally and on and, like, lowers, just shredding. But I mean, those guys, I mean, they work their asses off for 20, 30 plus years, and they like, I was talking to Stamps about that, about the marketing, and he's like, dude, straight up, he's like, he does good business. Like, he's not rich or anything, but he does what he loves for a living, and he does get business because he spent the last 20, 25 plus years building up his fucking reputation. Like, Stamp is just a guy from, you know, from Seal, who surfs, you know, surfs and shapes here down in Orange County, and he's not like the most famous guy in the world. He doesn't have a clothing line based on his brand or anything, but like, he shapes a good goddamn surfboard, and, you know, he's friends with the creme de la creme and the top surfer, you know, shaper people in the world because of it. You know, he shapes for all the world-class athletes down here, like, you know, Brett when he was on tour, and still to this day, Brett Simpson, Courtney Conlogue, you know, rides for him, and she's still a world tender, you know, world title contender, and one of the best female surfers ever, best surfers ever, if you want, you know. Like, he, you know, but he, you know, he grounded out. He works, that guy works 10 hours a day and sometimes on the weekends, but he does what he loves, and he makes a living. So the other side of that is, I've talked to him about it. Because I asked him, like, what he thought about the soft tops. I thought, like, 4 or 5 years ago, soft tops were just going to decimate surfing, and it was just going to be like, because I saw Hayden Shapes, what Hayden Shapes did for Kooks. I thought soft tops were like the next level of, like, here's a board that's like a Hayden Shape, catches everything, paddles easy, and it won't even hurt you if it hits you in the head, you know? But I talked to Stamps before that, in the past, I guess. And I was like, what do you think? Are these things going to put you out of business? And he's like, no, I mean, they're a thing that will exist, but it does. But when people, like, the people that want a custom good surfboard, like, whether it's a high performance shortboard or a fish or a longboard, they're going to go to the people that make the very best custom performance surfboards. Like, there's no way around that. You're not going to, like, you can get a pop out for cheap and use it as a backup board, or take it to a trip to Mexico or Indo or Hawaii in case it gets big, so you don't care if you break it. But, like, at the end of the day, surfing is such a personal, this is my opinion, surfing is such a personal and, like, thing to people, that's important, like, personally important to people, regardless of their, like, pro, which most people aren't, or a total kook like me, like, which many people are. It's such a personal thing, and as you get older, it eats, like, it takes time to surf. Like, if I want to go surf, I have to have a half hour to go down and surf, you know, get ready or get all my stuff and get together, go wander down the beach, get dressed, go surf, then an hour or two to surf, then 30 minutes to come back, and then, you know, take a shower. So it's like a, you know, a 3 hour plus commitment in an adult's life. So when I surf, I want to ride the best surfboards that I can possibly ride. And sometimes if the waves are shitty, I mean, that could be like, we have a wave, you know, have a beat up wave storm at our house. If it's like really, really, really small in the summertime, I'll take the wave storm and go surf somewhere, goof around at Golden West. But for the most part, like, I get the best boards that I can, you know, I can get, I have access to. And those, for luckily for me, because of where I live, I get boards right from Stamps, or I could, you know, like, same thing. If I want to get a board from like Chaz, like Charlie, you know, I would get a board from him, or, you know, Doc at Surf Prescriptions. There's all the, like, we have, like, luckily in Orange County, we have, like, you know, local shapers that are very, very good that you can get board. Like, you can be a regular person and get a custom board from any of these shapers. And you can, you know, same guy, like the guys in San Clemente, there's a bunch of world-class shapers in San Clemente. It's the same thing. They shape boards for famous people, but at the end of the day, they're shapers. They shape boards for everybody. If you got money to pay for the surfboard and aren't going to try and shake them down for some bro deal, yeah, go out and get a custom board. And like I said, like, surfing is such a time suck. It really is. It eats up so much time. And like I said, especially if you're an adult, I mean, take your hourly if you're a salaried employee somewhere and multiply it by your surf time, and, you know, you'll be in the hundreds of dollars per session for some people, depending on what you do for a living. So yeah, I feel like the pop-out thing, it's like, they'll sell more of those, but it's to the general population that aren't really surfing well or don't know what surfing is. Those are the people that buy it, put it in either put it in their corner of their apartment so chicks will see it, or put it in their garage where they're gonna, you know, the kid's bike falls against it and they never fix the ding, and then just surf with a ding, and then it turns yellow and explodes or whatever, or falls apart. So, but yeah, I feel like that, you know, foam boards or whatever, custom shapes, there'll always be a market for it as long as there's still surfers like hard, like to to reiterate what I said earlier, like the difference between the Orange County Kooks and the LA Kooks, and then the core Orange County surfers and core LA surfers. The core surfers are always going to be riding with the best equipment. Yeah, we all are dumb and we'll go for fads and, oh, I'm going to get one of these and whatever, you know. And I'll buy one or two boards a year off the rack at Jack's. I had a Pizel, because I was, you know, like John surfs so well. I got a Ghost, and it was like, I just felt like I was too tall. What was wrong with it? It was great. It rode really good. Like the first time I rode it, I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ, I can see why John surfed so well on these boards. Not why John surfed so well, but like why these boards work in a particular way. And they're like, they're good, solid boards. And it felt different than my other boards. But at the end, I was a little bit too short and thick. I would have wanted it like an inch longer and the same volume stretched out. It just felt a little bit short for me because I think it was like a 6'1". But what I'm saying is, like, yeah, I've never bought a Hayden Shapes, or I don't think I've ever fucking ridden one. And you know what? The joke's on me. I'd probably ride one and be my favorite board ever, and I'd just be planning going laterally down the line the rest of my life and taking waves off people and being the biggest hated kook and just loving life. So I'm cheating myself. So, but what I'm saying, anyone better than me that actually takes surfing seriously and surfs, you know, two or three times a week or more is gonna always be getting good boards. I mean, I don't care. You, like I said, you get pop outs. But it's the same thing. If you think about it, like there's snow skis and snowboards and shit like that. There's like generic ones you can buy at like Big Five or whatever that are shitty. And then there's like, you got to go to a snowboard shop to get like the elite, like fancier models and the more expensive models of snowboards. But even at that level, snowboards are weird because they're so precise that it's easy to pop them out. Well, you know, they can be like precise. They're not as, I don't know. A snowboarder would probably argue this differently, but you could make 100 of the same snowboards models that, if they're made precision in the factory, they'd probably ride the same way. You can't make 100 of the same surfboard from a computer. It's all going to ride the same way. It's just the too much variable in the foam and the wood used and all that shit, and, you know, the glassing and whatnot. But then the other side of that is skateboarding. Like, shit, dude. I mean, skateboards, like, it can just be a pro model, and fucking a guy that rips at skateboarding can just take a skateboard off the fucking rack, basically put slaps and trucks on it and ride it just as well as any other board. There's no secret like tricky thing to skateboarding. That's why I always laugh at when we get all like Queenie and like she is surfers, like, oh, well, this board's foil and rail and this and that. And I'm like, eh, you know, skateboarders, you know, go 10, 20 feet, I don't know, 15 feet in the air on vert ramps and, you know, slide 50-foot rails and jump stairs backwards and shit and off of buildings and stuff, off of things that you could basically buy off the rack at any skateboard shop. They're not getting custom fucking trucks or wheels or boards. So kind of hard to argue, you know, that unless you're surfing 50-foot waves. And I was kind of like, same thing, in like the big wave guns, I'm always suspicious of, because I think big wave surfing over like, whatever, 10 or 15 or 20 feet or whatever, like when you're riding like an 8-0 or some crazy board paddling in, or 10-0 or... I don't know the length. 9-foot board. I feel like those boards, they're made under the best parameters they can, but I really feel at that point it's just survival. So I bet you there's probably less than 12 people in the world that really understand how a board that 9-foot, one works better than the other, and what they could change or do. And the shaper is probably the same way, because I think you just take what works in smaller boards and, or, you know, mid-sized guns, and then for rhino chasers, you just hope and pray because you're sliding in the face of an 80-foot wave. And then again, when you fucking look at it, the toe surfers can ride that shit on like a 5'8 with weights on it and then get barreled and do flips. So, and those boards, you know, who's to say? I mean, you could ride a skimboard. But yeah, I know there's a big backlash against pop-outs, but that is the way that the world works. If there's a way to make things and then make them cheaper and make more of them to sell to more people, and there's a market to buy them, people will buy them, dude. I mean, there's way more Hondas on the road than Ferraris. Ferraris are still really cool. And if I was a driver and I care, like, you know, a car driver, and really gave a fuck about driving and had money, I guess I'd maybe drive a Ferrari or a Porsche or whatever fancy car there is that is good. But, you know, most of us just drive Hondas. You know, I have a Mazda right now, which, not to brag, but zoom, zoom. And not to date myself, because that commercial campaign was probably 10, 15 years ago. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like that's my thing. I feel like people always rail against stuff. And, you know, me and I talk to Stamps, he'll complain about certain aspects of the surf industry or board shaping industry and stuff, but he's just doing it to like be funny and like let off steam. But at the end of the day, like guys like him that are squared away and are craftsmen and the best in the world at what they do, they don't give a fuck. They know they worked hard and they know that they're going to make it work either way, because that's what they want to do, and that's what they put here to do, you know, and they do it. So that's it. So I don't know. That's pretty good, right? I could get madder, but yeah, I guess maybe because I'm so ranty, like, somebody be like, expect me to be like, oh, fuck pop-outs and the fucking Chinese boards. But nah, I don't fuck. I mean, Jesus Christ, dude. The jeans I'm wearing, the shoes I'm wearing, the phone that's next to my balls right now in my pocket. I don't put my phone in my underwear. I'm sorry. That was a bad example. All the shit that I'm sitting on using this computer, this recorder, this microphone, all of it was made, popped out in a factory somewhere. It wasn't like handcrafted by some fucking, you know, laptop smith who's carving out the fucking Gorilla Glass and placing it in. So we're beans of convenience. So we do what we do. If you like the show, give us a 5-star review on iTunes and write a couple nice words and see how rad it is. If you don't like the show, well, I don't know. There's other things to do. Go outside and play. It's probably nice outside where you live, hopefully. Besides that, follow us on social media. If you have any questions, hit us up on Facebook or Instagram or send us an email through the website for topics or things you'd like to hear me discuss or ramble or rant about on the show. If not, then just go about your business. Live your life. I'm not the boss of you. For the Surfing Podcast, my name is, and will continue to be Dan Bylock, and I will talk to you guys again soon. Get out there. Get some waves and some deep tubes, unless you live where I live, and then you'll just be surfing like 1.5-foot windslop for the next 7 to 10 days. God.